Attention, attention. This is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 44 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is available in German and English on YouTube, Spotify and Podcast.de with social media presences on Blue Sky and Instagram.
The topic of this episode.
It's time for another aviation topic. One of my first episodes on the old YouTube channel dealt with the Luftwaffe's America Bomber project during World War II. Since this topic isn't entirely uninteresting, I'll discuss it in a revised version in this episode.
Political agenda and background.
None. However, the war in Ukraine, which has been raging since 2022, has increased the importance of various weapon systems. For the army, these are definitely artillery and air defense. For the air force, these are drones and long-range weapons for strategic bombing, such as the Ukrainian Flamingo cruise missile, which is visually strongly reminiscent of the German V-1. In a protracted war, you have to be able to hit and destroy all of the enemy's facilities necessary for warfare. The question is, how did Germany actually intend to do this in relation to the USA? And this is where the America Bomber project comes into play.
The sources that were used.
Unfortunately, I don't have a dedicated book on this topic. Therefore, I have compiled snippets from various books, Wikipedia, and other online sources to provide a somewhat complete picture. Since the America bombers remained at the prototype stage, they received little coverage in encyclopedias, and there are hardly any accounts from Luftwaffe pilots. And they played virtually no role at the political level. Therefore, the source material here is trickier than usual. The Luftwaffe had, broadly speaking, four missions in World War II. Reconnaissance, transport, attack, and defense. The attack aspect was covered by the bombers. Since Prussian times, the German military had strived for short, intense campaigns, as the country's geographical location and scarcity of resources made it difficult to sustain long campaigns. The German Air Force was modeled on this doctrine and optimized for direct army support. Precise dive bombers, as well as light and medium bombers that could be deployed close to the front, were therefore the priority. A war with the USA was never even considered. When Hitler declared war on the United States in December 1941, he created a real problem for the German armed forces. After all, there was a vast ocean between the United States and Germany, and there were no German allies around the United States. It was obvious that the United States would station troops and aircraft in Great Britain. From there, attacks on Germany were possible, but the other way around? Apart from submarine attacks on American ships, nothing seemed feasible. The German leadership was aware of this. This problem gave rise to the so-called America Bomber Program, which aimed to enable air raids on the USA. In the late 1930s, there had been some plans for heavy long-range bombers, such as the Ju-89 and the Do-19. At the time, they were certainly state-of-the-art. However, Germany lacked the resources to build a strong tactical and strategic air force simultaneously. Since it was assumed that combat would only take place locally in Europe, the Ju-89 and Do-19 projects were shelved. In the autumn of 1939 and the spring of 1940, the Tactical Air Force proved its worth in the campaigns in Poland and the West. The Battle of Britain in 1940, however, brutally exposed the Luftwaffe's weakness in strategic air warfare. The tactical bombers were unusable for effective strategic bombing. Their range and bomb load were simply too limited. Furthermore, due to their weak defensive armament, they required strong fighter support. However, the Luftwaffe could only provide this to a limited extent, as its fighters lacked the necessary range. They were never supposed to have long range. After all, they were designed as interceptors and escorts for medium bombers, not as long-range escorts. The problem of the America bomber was not discussed until the end of 1940. This ultimately resulted in a study that was presented to Luftwaffe Chief Göring on April 27, 1942. According to this plan, the Luftwaffe was to use the Azores in the Atlantic as a base for air attacks on the USA. Based on the study, aircraft development was commissioned. A reminder. At this time, the war between Germany and the United States had already been going on for almost half a year. And only now was a plan formulated for how to attack the US industrial centers at some point in the future. Until then, they could basically operate under peacetime conditions. At the same time, the British launched the 1,000 bomber night raids on West German cities. Why the Azores as a base? This Portuguese archipelago is strategically located in the Atlantic, which would reduce the required range of bombers. Furthermore, in the early years of the war, Portugal allowed German submarines and other ships to refuel in the Azores. It wasn't until 1943 that Portugal reversed course and allowed the Allies to use the island. There were various programs and ideas for the America bomber program. Among them were some very ambitious, even fantastical ideas. Not many of them were even started. What was actually feasible and seriously attempted? Let's first look at what would be necessary for this. The distance between the Azores and New York, which was discussed as the main target, is about 3,617 kilometers or 2,248 miles. For a round-trip flight, a range of at least 7,500 kilometers or 5,000 miles is required. A little more than that wouldn't be bad, since weather and operational conditions could dictate a flight route other than the shortest, and a little more penetration into US airspace to hit targets other than New York would be helpful. The Detroit area, then an important industrial center, would be of great strategic importance. The Azores-Detroit flight route is already around 5,000 kilometers or 3,000 miles, so a range of at least 10,000 kilometers or 6,000 miles is necessary. But let's consider the question of what would be necessary if the Azores were not considered as a base, which was indeed the case from 1943 onwards. In that case, a takeoff from the French Atlantic coast would have been necessary. The distance from Brest to New York is 5,389 kilometers or 3,349 miles. So we are talking about a minimum range of 11,000 kilometers or 7,000 miles. And if you want to fly from Brest to Detroit, we are talking about a distance of just under 7,000 kilometers or 4,300 miles. So a minimum range of 14,000 kilometers or 8,600 miles. Incidentally, the Allies didn't have aircraft with such a range either. The B-17 had a maximum range without bombs of around 6,000 kilometers or 3,750 miles. The more modern B-29 achieved 9,000 kilometers or 5,600 miles without bombs. Only the B-36, completed after the war, had a range of 16,000 kilometers or 10,000 miles, which would have made such missions possible. And what did the Luftwaffe have at its disposal when the war with the USA began in December 1941? The Focke-Wulf FW-200 Condor naval reconnaissance aircraft, used for combating Atlantic convoys and for reconnaissance, was a converted four-engine aircraft originally developed as a passenger aircraft. It had a range of 3,560 kilometers, not nearly enough to fly near the US East Coast. Furthermore, it was far too fragile to survive such missions. Details on this can be found in episode 16. Among the Luftwaffe's proper bombers, there was also no aircraft with even remotely sufficient range. The older HE-111 had a range of about 2,300 kilometers or 1,400 miles, while the more modern JU-88 had a range of 2,730 kilometers or 1,700 miles at best. This was perfectly adequate for the original mission profile, but not for strategic bombing, especially not on another continent. A significant increase in range was therefore necessary for an America bomber. Messerschmitt had an aircraft ready that could serve as a basis, the twin-engine ME-261 Adolfine. It looked like an enlarged ME-110, and that's what it effectively was. It was originally planned as a long-range record-breaking aircraft and was intended to carry out a publicity stunt, transporting the Olympic torch from Garmisch, where the 1936 Winter Games were held, to Tokyo, where the 1940 Summer Games were to have taken place, non-stop. Hitler himself was very interested in this operation, which is why the aircraft was nicknamed Adolfine in his honor. Planning began in 1937 and construction began in 1939. A total of 3 prototypes were built. These prototypes were designated with the letter V for Versuchsmuster, translation test model, and then a serial number. So when I speak of V1, V2, etc., this has nothing to do with the V1 and V2 retaliation weapons. The prototype ME-261 V1 first took off on December 23, 1940. The V2 made its maiden flight in the spring of 1941. The V3 received more powerful engines and first took off in the spring of 1943. The aircraft were barely used. The V1 and V2 were damaged in an air raid in 1944 and subsequently scrapped. The V3 was damaged during landing in July 1943, was subsequently repaired and used for a few long-range reconnaissance flights. But what were the performance characteristics? The ME-261 could fly 11,000 kilometers or 6,850 miles without a payload at a maximum speed of 620 kilometers per hour. This performance was quite acceptable as a starting point. Building on this experience, Messerschmitt developed the four-engine ME-264. 3 prototypes were built. The V1 first flew on December 23, 1942. It encountered significant problems due to its high wing loading. Rate of climb, maneuverability, and flight stability were quite poor, and the aircraft required a very high takeoff and landing speed. The V2 and V3 prototypes were partially armed, while the V1 remained completely unarmed. In 1943, the ME-264 lost the America bomber duel against the Ju-390 and was therefore to be converted into a naval reconnaissance aircraft. However, the Navy also decided against the ME-264 and in favor of the Ju-390. Development was therefore discontinued in October 1943. At the end of 1943, the second prototype, the V2, was destroyed in an air raid. The V1 served for a while in a transport squadron, was then damaged in an air raid and not repaired. The V3 was also destroyed in an air raid. What were the aircraft's performance characteristics? The range was an incredible 15,000 kilometers or 9,500 miles. The top speed was 560 kilometers per hour, but the cruising speed was a much lower 350. The service ceiling was a modest 8,000 meters. The payload was either 3 tons of bombs with a range of 14,400 kilometers or 8,950 miles, or 13.2 tons of bombs with a range of only 8,600 kilometers or 5,350 miles. The aircraft could therefore have reached and attacked the United States with a high bomb load from the Azores or with a low bomb load from France. But please keep in mind the timing. When the V1 first flew, the 6th Army was already surrounded at Stalingrad. The Allies had landed in North Africa and resource scarcity was becoming apparent. The B-29 Superfortress, developed under much better conditions, also made its first flight at the end of December 1942, exactly 1 week after the ME-264. And this aircraft only became operational in the summer of 1944, in small numbers. So even if the Germans had managed to maintain the same development pace as the USA with fewer resources and a worse war situation, the ME-264 bombers would not have been operational until the Allies landed in Normandy. In other words, at a time when the Azores base was no longer available and the Brest base was about to be overrun. Even if missions from West Germany had theoretically been conceivable, the bombers would now have had to fight their way through enemy airspace in Western Europe and enemy airspace in North America twice, and more or less without fighter protection. But the ME-264 had lost. What about the competition from Junkers? The Junkers Ju-390, which would ultimately become the America bomber, was a six-engine aircraft based on the four-engine Ju-290 transport aircraft, which in turn was based on the Ju-90 passenger aircraft. The Ju-290 was a good solid long-range aircraft with a range of 6,100 kilometers or 3,800 miles, thus providing a good basis for further development. It had been in service since the end of 1942. A total of two prototypes of the Ju-390 were built. The V-1's maiden flight took place on October 20, 1943, about 10 months after the ME-264's maiden flight. As a reminder, at that point, things were already looking pretty bleak on the Eastern Front, Italy had switched sides, and the air war over Germany was in full swing. The test flight results of the Ju-390 were good, and a preliminary production order was issued. Hitler himself inspected the aircraft on November 26, 1943 in East Prussia. Test flights continued in Prague until mid-March 1944. Among other things, an experimental air refueling system was tested there. However, the production order was withdrawn on June 20, 1944 in light of the successful Allied landing in France, and work on the project was completely halted in September 1944. The V-1 ended up in Dessau in November 44, where it was dismantled and destroyed in April 45 in the face of approaching Allied forces. The data for the second prototype, the V-2, is somewhat shakier. Depending on the source, the first flight took place in October 1943, June 1944, February 1945, or not at all. There are also several legends surrounding the Ju-390 about special flights. According to one example, in the spring of 44, the Ju-390 is said to have flown to Cape Town, South Africa, and back. In January 44, there was supposedly a test flight across the Atlantic, during which the aircraft came within 20 kilometers of New York. There was also supposedly a direct flight to Japan. All these claims are based on individual statements and cannot be substantiated. The existing documents suggest that these are fabrications. What were the aircraft's performance specifications? The range was 9,700 kilometers or 6,030 miles at a maximum speed of 505 kilometers per hour. Air raids from the Azores would have been possible, but not from France. The service ceiling was a mere 6,000 meters. The armament consisted of three 20mm cannons and four 13mm machine guns. The bomb load and the resulting range reduction are unknown. By the time the Ju-390 could have been deployed, sometime in early 1945 in the best case scenario, there would have been no bases available for an attack on North America, not to mention the Lost War. And since I mentioned the V weapons earlier, would they have had sufficient range? Simple answer, no. The V-1 was a cruise missile with a short range of 250 kilometers, and the V-2 rocket had a range of 320 kilometers. Even the long-range version, the A-4B, would have only had a range of about 750 kilometers, far below what was necessary. The idea of launching these weapons from submarines was there, but the war ended before any testing could even begin. Summary 1. Existing aircraft, such as the Focke-Wulf 200 Condor, were far from having the range needed to directly attack the USA. 2. The Ju-390 and the ME-264 would have offered this capability. The ME-264 could even have launched a direct attack from France. 3. As in so many other cases, however, the prototypes and developments came far too late to become reality, with development beginning in 1942 and trials throughout 1943, the first units could realistically have been established in 1944 at the earliest, at a time when such attacks would have made little sense, and moreover the bases in the Azores and France were no longer available. The fundamental problem was the focus on light bombers at the beginning of the war. Had the development of heavy long-range aircraft begun in the mid to late 1930s, as was done in the United States and Great Britain, these aircraft would have been operational by the early 1940s. However, this would have come at the expense of tactical air power and would have significantly reduced the Luftwaffe's effectiveness in the 1939-41 campaigns. Sufficient resources were not available to realize both projects. And even if these aircraft had become operational, there would have been significant problems. 1. The fuel consumption would have been enormous, and fuel was something that became increasingly scarce as the war progressed. 2. Navigation would have been very difficult. Precise navigation over such vast distances would have been very difficult with the technology available at the time. 3. How effective would such attacks have been? To achieve noticeable effects, very large numbers of these bombers would have had to attack very frequently with heavy bomb loads. And in reality, it would have required an even greater range. Bombing the East Coast cities alone wouldn't have brought the US to its knees. The penetration depth into US airspace would have had to be significantly greater. 4. The aircraft's defensive capabilities are questionable. Both models were very slow and only had a limited number of defensive weapons. The significantly more heavily armed B-17 Flying Fortress had considerable problems in German airspace before the introduction of American long-range fighters. The German-America bombers would likely have suffered the same fate. And consider this, even the slightest damage would have been fatal. For damaged American and British bombers, the return flight over northern Germany and the North Sea was already agonizingly long. How agonizing would a return flight across the entire Atlantic have been? However, the Allies would also have had problems. The US armed forces would have had to allocate significant resources to air defense, such as radar systems, fighter units, anti-aircraft guns, etc., which would have been lacking elsewhere. Furthermore, there would likely have been a significant psychological effect on the US population. After all, attacks on US territory were virtually non-existent. German bombers over US cities on the East Coast, that could have shattered America's sense of security.
A few finishing words.
The America bomber was essentially one of the first intercontinental bomber projects. Even the superpowers, the USA and the Soviet Union, only succeeded in realizing that in the late 1940s and early 1950s, with the B-36 and the Tu-95 respectively. However, these were only effective because they could be equipped with nuclear weapons. Only a few hundred of these air titans were built, while thousands of aircraft like the B-17 and the B-29 were built. Even though the technical performance of the ME-264 and the Ju-390 prototypes was impressive, the America bomber project was never realistic. Just like in World War I, the U-boats had to bear the entire burden of the fight against US production. If they couldn't hit the factories, then perhaps at least the transport routes. As is well known, the Battle of the Atlantic was lost in 1943. How could one now combat the vast resources of the USA? The German leadership failed to answer this question.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.